The Phil Henry Show brought to you by ABC. Don't miss the new drama 10-8 premieres Sunday, September 28th at 8, 7 Central on ABC.
Here's Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
You know, Geraldo Rivera, he's not going to be happy until he's standing there in front of the camera, in front of the Fox camera. He's got the microphone, he's tilted into the wind, and a big piece of lumber comes and just takes his head off. I'm standing here in front of the, oh, geez, boom! Because that's his rep, isn't it? Geraldo is where it's hot. And if it's hot, it's hot, and that's where he am. I just flip on everywhere, there's something badass going on. That cat's got to be in the middle of it. You know, I like Geraldo Rivera, and I mean that. I guess it's because he is very unbiased. He's an extremely biased reporter, and all of the stuff that he's biased towards, I dig too. And he was there in Iraq, and he was telling it like it was. As far as I was concerned, he was in Afghanistan. He called Osama bin Laden a pile of cat turd, and he just really gave it I think he gave it the read and the look that it needed. Like right now, what's happening in Iraq? See, it's unfortunate that most of the American electorate is really rather stupid. I say that with the greatest of love in my heart, but you gotta have the big picture. Have you ever heard anybody say you gotta get the big picture? You know, let's take a step back and take a look at the big picture. What's happening in Iraq, as I have said so often, has saved America's future for the next 60 years. You realize this, don't you? For the next 60 years, this was a bold move taken by a president that is now unpopular because it hasn't panned out in 14 seconds, and things aren't, it isn't exactly like Disneyland over there in 23 seconds after, and we haven't found Saddam Hussein, and where's my cheeseburger? Where's my Big Mac? Where are my fries? Why isn't Hussein dead? This malt stale? Come on, pal. Move your car, move your car, move your car. We got soldiers over there that are getting killed, and so every mother of a soldier reacts the way that one would expect a soldier's mother to react. Oh my God, I want my boy home, and this is terrible. It's a big waste of time. The soldiers, ask them. They're fine. Except for a few of those pussies that are reservists that thought they'd go into the Army or the Marine Corps and sit in front of a computer playing, playing like the Hearts all day long. And when a guy said, well, here's a gun, you have to go because you're a soldier. I didn't sign up for that. What are you talking about? And so our guys are being subjected to the usual hit and run. They're going to do fine. We're going to win this war. The soldiers want to win it, and I'm behind them 100%. And I haven't wavered at all. And I think what we've done is great. Every day to me, it looks better. Every day to me, it looks like an even smarter thing to do than it did the day before. And it's too bad that this vision of history, that this very necessary move that has neutralized a base of terror that was being funded and fostered in the Middle East has now essentially been neutralized. It's too bad people don't get that. It's really too bad what's happened to America in 2 years. It's sad if you want to think about it. It's just the saddest thing. What a bunch of candy asses we turned out to be. You know, after 9/11, we suddenly saw the future as we should see it. We actually saw what was at stake. Now we're just returning to the September 10th. And maybe it was all a bad dream. Anyway, getting back to Geraldo Rivera getting hit with a piece of lumber, because that's how I got on all of this. Hurricane Isabel is onshore, and it's blowing a whole bunch of houses down. What the hell do you want from us? What do you want me to say? It's a hurricane. It blows a lot. There's a lot of water. It's wet and windy, just like the inside of Geraldo's mouth. And it's moving north. And so he's out there, he's bent into the wind everywhere. I swear to God, if there was a gang fight right in the middle of the Bronx in the worst, most bombed-out area of Watts, he'd be in the middle of that. I'm Geraldo Rivera here, and the guy just pulled a knife. Wherever the bad stuff is, that's where he wants to be. Right in the middle of a bubonic plague outbreak, there's Geraldo with a surgical mask on. And now he's leaning in, and every single hurricane's the same thing. There's a guy standing there getting hit with a sign and a squirrel, and he's, you can see how windy it is. Yeah. It definitely is a hurricane. They weren't kidding. Okay, because I thought they were. And then today, did you see the news? How do we keep hurricanes from happening? You got to be putting me on with that. I mean, I swear to God, I'll believe anything. But that guy actually wants to know how we keep them from happening? Why don't you sue one of them? Guy says we, you know, we should drop a nuke into it, or we should lay down sheets of plastic. Don't you understand that a hurricane, just like any animal in the forest, is a part of the natural ecology of the earth? If you start messing around with hurricanes, like not letting them happen, you may have some kind of a freaky-ass seasonal change, man. It might start snowing in the summer. It might not rain in the winter. It might, you know, the trees may grow to be a million feet high, and the kangaroos might be giant, and we might all be like 3 inches. Who knows what's going to happen? What do you want to... Why do we got to keep screwing with nature? Ain't it good enough for you, you freaking mad scientist? That's how I got in trouble with Canada. I called that guy that was cloning off, the guy was like cloning marsupials or something, Morro Bay kangaroo rats, and I said, well, that guy, that stupid wop, and the people in Canada go ape because I use the word wop. If ever there was a reasonable time to use it, some mad scientist in Italy trying to clone off, you know, all 8 million Italians that Madonna made love to, this is nuts. By the way, if you are an Italian and you have not made love to a Madonna, please call us. You're our winner. Why, you know, that you can't screw around with the weather. You just got to let it happen. And by the way, what I said yesterday, if you're one of these people that says, I'm not getting out, no how, no matter. I built this home with my bare hands. Oh, that's really good for you, Clem. Good for you, Uncle Jed. And by the way, put a 5G deposit, 6G, something like that there in the county morgue, so that when we find your shredded corpse hanging from a road sign, we can pay for all of the vomit bags that it's going to take that we got to strap on people so that they could go ahead and sweep your body into a bag. You're going to stay behind, huh? I think you're big and tough and strong and all that stuff. Guess what? Somebody is going to have to go and mop you up. Someone's going to have to take a sponge, a dustbuster, a mop, a set of baby wipes, and probably some kind of a wet vac to get what's left of you up. And that's going to cost money. That's manpower. That's hourly wage. You understand that? So one of the cops said, did you hear what he said? He said, hey, if you're going to stay behind, write down your, what did he say, social security number on your arm in grease pencil so we can identify you, because your face will probably be torn off by then. The wind will have probably blown your face into 5 different states. So you'll understand if we don't know exactly who you are, since all we're looking at is something that resembles a side of beef. So please, put down some identifying mark. I loved it. The copper said that, right? Cops are great. They're great. They say, man, if you let the cops talk about it, they'll give it to you straight. You lay it on some politician, well, he's got to lay it out real sweet, because then grandma's, you know, if he doesn't, the grandmas will get all twisted up. They'll get their Depends all in a bunch. The copper laid it out the way it ought to be. You want to hang out? Oh, that's really great. Please, if you wouldn't mind, just carve, like, maybe get your birth date, like, tattooed on your forehead. So that if all we find is the head, then we'll be able to see, we'll mix and match the bodies. In fact, put it on the head and on the ass, so if the head and the ass get separated, if we find your ass laid on the beach, and we find your head, say, laying on a street in Pittsburgh, well, hey, wait a minute, I got this guy's ass. All right, we can hook up together, and they can bury you like in one piece. Maybe the head will be turned around the wrong way, but hey. If you hang around in that cartoon, your skin's going to fly right off, and then you're going to look like a skeleton in one of those cartoons. Just like one of those animals, just, and the skin blows off. It's just a skeleton walking. That's what's going to happen to you. You want to know what will happen to you in a hurricane? Watch more cartoons. So just remember that. Get a tattoo of your birth date on your ass and on your forehead. So the guy will say, I got an ass here, born 9-1-52. Yep, got the head over here. All right, fly it down here and to Cape Hatteras, and they'll snap it back on. Of course, they'll just have to bury your head on top of your ass, no, in the middle. It'll just be like, because they can't find nothing else. That's what happens if you hang around and you act like an idiot in the middle of a hurricane. You can't beat Mother Nature, so quit it. Quit trying. And I like these guys who say, I'm going to hang out in the bar, and we're just going to see it through here in the bar. Here's what happens if you get too hammered. This'll happen, honest to God. You get so hammered, some guy will say, oh, bull crap, I can go out to my car and get the cigarettes. No, you can't. Yes, I can. He'll open the door, and that's the last you'll ever see of him. Goodbye. I guarantee some guy will get so hammered. Just a question. Of all the deaths that happen in hurricanes, how many of the people are drunk? How many of the people are drunk when they die? I give it 50% at least. I bet you half of them are rat-assed.
oh, bullcrap. I'm going to go out here.
And the next thing you know, goodbye, Charlie, man. Just like right out of that Wicked Witch of the West, right?
Dorothy!
You know, just bang, man, you're gone. That's 180 miles an hour. You out of your freaking mind? That's 100 miles an hour in this one. This is a Category 2. Don't you understand what that is? 100 mile an hour wind, man. You've never even driven your car that fast. Most of you. You gonna stand out in the middle of that? You know what happens? I'll tell you what happens. You go out in the middle of that, and then a metal fence post uproots just as you're walking out your door, and the next thing you know, it goes right through your neck. It's great. Problem is, they can't bury you because you can't get you in a coffin with that metal thing through your neck, so they just got to throw you in the ground without a box on you. But you know, that happens. Or what else happens is you'll go outside and you'll touch the wrong thing, like an electrical cord, and you will cook. And I mean slow, like a steak, like an all-day roasted prime rib. That happens. Also, some of our brain surgeon friends go outside, and then a window breaks, and then a shard of glass goes through your face, just like a razor blade. Now, you may survive, but you ain't going to be looking too good. You get that metal fence post through your neck, you look like a weather vane with a pipe sticking through your neck. Next thing you know, they're going to put a rooster ass on you, just go... Go north, young man. Stick you on top of somebody's garage. All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. We'll take calls for the next 45 minutes. Today on our show, we got a lot of fun today. Herb Sewell will be on. And Herb is going to be talking about football, right? The hurricane. We'll have more hurricane talk. Herb has written a book called Whichever Way the Wind Blows, 35 years as a meteorologist, and then Vernon Dozier to talk about how to get over the feeling of being a loser when your son doesn't get a college football scholarship. Blake Barley, our political satirist, will be on to sing a song about J-Lo and Ben Affleck, and we'll also be giving you a flashback on Phil Explains the Bullcrap on our show. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
I'm going to get some more Kobe Bryant news in a minute, but first, good news. The police, the SWAT team, took out that hostage guy at that college. Where is that, Janice? I had that story yesterday. Very good. Yeah. Hey, the SWAT cats went in. Another piece of garbage takes a gun into a school, takes a gun into an office building, takes a gun into a place of worship, wherever, pulls the gun, holds hostages. People are sitting there with their thumbs up their ass. They're going, what is, are we not safe anywhere? What is going on? I'm in school over here. So the local police went in and they blew that guy's head into six different pieces. Great work, guys. Great work. You know, we talked about this about, when did we talk about it? A couple of months ago, I said, what are we supposed to sit here and wait for it to happen? When are we going to start using our heads? When are we going to start packing guns? Now, I'm not talking about being stupid. You know who you are. You know the sensible people that I'm talking to right now. This is not intelligent to walk around in a world like this, in a country like this, in a country that America has become. It's a great country. But we've allowed it to turn into a slaughterhouse because, I don't know why, because maybe we imagined ourselves to be a more civilized people than we really are. We're trying to desperately hang on to whatever tenuous connection to civilization we have. We're trying to protect ourselves from being butchered up by terrorists from Afghanistan and Malawababa and some cat wearing a towel. And at the same time, we're trying to keep ourselves safe from homegrown psychos whose mama took them off the nipple too soon. So they got to go out and they got to start blasting everybody, right? This was out in Tennessee and Dyersburg. And I'll tell you something else. I hate to break the big news, but you guys have seen it before I did, didn't you? None of this stuff just happens in California anymore. In fact, it ain't happening in California anymore. It's happening in Minnesota and Tennessee and Indiana. In other words, it's happening out where all the normal people live, according to most of the people I talk to. That's where all the normal people live. Well, guess what? It ain't normal no more. Some guy went into a classroom, and he's holding people hostage, and everybody's got to sit on the floor, and they went in there for a night class, and they thought that maybe they could get a little education in when they're not working their ass off and taking care of their children, and maybe they're trying to improve their lives, and they walk into a bloody classroom, and a guy's got a gun. When are we going to start packing guns? And I'm going to tell you something right now. If it doesn't sound like a good idea to our very fine police, you guys got a better idea? To many of the fine people who are members of my own political party who believe in gun control, have you got a better idea? Are you trying to tell me I ought to just trust as I take my ass into my hands walking into a classroom or into a building? Hey, man, I'm working right here at a radio studio here in Sherman Oaks, California. How do I know it ain't going to happen to me? How do I know some guy who gets pissed off around here doesn't come walking in with a gun? How do I know that, Michael Reagan isn't just going to flip and come down here and blow me away? How do I know Dr. Laura one day is just going to say, I've had it, I can't take it any longer, and Laura pulls a pump-action shotgun out of her purse and comes down here and blows my brains all over this window? How do I know that ain't going to happen? How do I know that Jim Rome finally says, you know, enough of those Jim Rome impressions, I'm sick of hearing Henry dog me, and he comes down here with a Luger, one of those PPKS Lugers, and just puts a couple in my brain, and I slump over, and the last thing you hear me say is,
goodbye.
The last thing you hear out of me is a Bud Dickman impression. How do I know that won't happen? Or how do I know the very fine Craig Kitchen, a man who I love and respect, the COO of our great radio network, Premier Radio Networks, along with David G. Hall, one of the most brilliant programmers in the history of radio, how do I know they just don't say one day together, I can't take it anymore with this guy, Henry, with the voices and his lousy show, and they come down here with baseball bats and just pulverize me? What am I supposed to do? If I have a gun, I can shoot them both. In other words, we're up for grabs and we're not supposed to do anything about it? We're not supposed to say anything about it? We're supposed to just walk into our a place of learning. I'm getting tired of it. You guys ought to be tired of it. And I highly recommend right now, if you are a responsible, law-abiding citizen, and you can be legally licensed for a firearm, that you go out immediately and that you get gun training, some kind of firearm, weapon handling safety, get training, target practice, etc., etc. If you know a police officer who's willing to give you the training, that'd be great. There are courses you can take, class you can take. Forget about taking karate. I always got to give this speech, especially to my very fine female listeners. You guys are going to learn just enough karate to get yourselves killed. I'm taking a self-defense class. Oh, that's great, really. You know, you run into an experienced street fighter, and he sees you whip out some karate. You're going to talk about finding your head in Virginia and your ass on a beach. No cat that's been on the street is going to be impressed with your strip mall dojung karate. You're going to whip your ass six ways to seven. You get a gun. A gun. And you learn how to use it, and I am recommending to all, any and all who listen to me, whether you hate me, whether you love me, I don't know what you want to do. The time has come for us to arm ourselves, and I'm talking about responsible, law-abiding citizens. In the tradition, perhaps, they say of the Old West, although a lot of those tales of the Old West were highly exaggerated, but I am saying we have to protect ourselves. We have to protect ourselves. Our hardworking police are not able to do it. The people who lead us are not able to do it. And I'm not blaming them. I'm blaming us. I'm blaming you and I'm blaming me. We've been sitting on our thumb too long. We've been acting like the dumbasses that we are for too long. And we have to take our country and our city back the same way we're going to take Iraq back for the Iraqis. Buy a gun. Learn how to use it. Somebody walks into the classroom, introduce them to it. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Now remember, everybody, be very safe out in that hurricane. Unless you're a reporter for Fox, then act like an utter jackass. Walk out in the middle of the wind like this guy Jeff Goldblatt's doing, and this guy won't live past 6 o'clock tonight, I guarantee it. Did you see this guy? He's leaning into the wind. He's walking around, staggering around like some dumb kid with a microphone. And they got a joke little. They got a little joke line that says, "Hey, Isabel's trying to take Jeff Goldblatt's pants off." Well, ain't that? Oh, look at this! Look who walked in. Hi, Laura. How are you? Uh oh. Now, anyway. Yeah, that's great. I bet you guys will be laughing when that guy gets blown into the Atlantic Ocean, and the only thing they find to him is a pair of slacks and shoes, and maybe his eyeglasses. All right, it's the Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Herb Sewell coming up to talk to us about Hurricane Isabel and his 35-year career as a meteorologist and how he got through those 35 years. His book is called Any Way the Wind Blows and the funny, or you might say the lighter side of weather tragedies. And then Vernon Dozier at 6 o'clock, a father whose son has gotten a 6-year football scholarship to the University of Southern California. If you're a father whose son didn't get a scholarship, how do you cope with the fact that your son's a loser? These are some of the things we'll be talking about on the show coming up. Here is, on the Phil Hendry Show, Joe. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Phil. How you doing, man?
Fine, thank you.
Hey, listen, how appropriate that you talk about self-defense and guns, because I'm sure George Bush is on his way to kick your butt, calling his daughter sluts yesterday.
Would you think that was funny?
No, I thought it was a slip-up on your part, but I think it's funny that, you know, people think that he's in Camp David, but he's actually on his way to L.A. to thump on your head.
Okay, cool. I guess I got a lawsuit then, don't I?
I hope, geez, probably.
Yeah.
Was it a slip-up or what?
It was what a slip-up?
That you call them sluts.
No, why would that be a slip-up?
Come on, Phil, they're not sluts.
Oh, okay, they're not sluts. What's a slut in your opinion? Look, I didn't say they were sluts, but I said they're acting like sluts. I mean, or what the traditional definition of a slut is, I guess that's what the Bush twins are doing. And the only reason why I said that is because everybody would jump all over Clinton for being this, that, and everything else. What kind of a father is George Bush with his daughters are out there with their dresses up over their heads doing body shots with, Secret Service agents? So what's up with that?
But you don't know that for a fact.
No, I don't know that for a fact. They got videotape of them running around nude at school, man. They got drunk driving convictions. Get out of here. I don't know that for a fact. Huh?
That was a fact that they might be drunk.
They're drunk in bars. They're passing out in bars. You got the bartenders are kicking them out. What are you talking about?
But just tell me that it was a slip up. That you didn't mean to call them sluts.
In other words, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't understand the point of your phone call.
The point of my phone call is that I was kind of shocked, man, that you called them sluts.
Okay, so if you act like a jackass, and I call you a jackass, you're more shocked that I call you a jackass than the fact that you are a jackass. Is that is this the road we're going down here logically? What are you talking about?
No, Phil. I mean, a jackass and a slut are two different things. You can call me a jackass all you want, but I mean...
Well, no, what I'm saying is, if it's a duck, you know, if it's got the feathers and it waddles and it's got the big nose, then it's a duck, right? I mean, what's the point of your phone call here? I don't understand.
Not only that, but you also used Chelsea Clinton as kind of like, the conservatives were ganging up on her.
Yeah, they were. The conservatives were ganging up on Chelsea because she had braces. I mean, talk about courage. Talk about courage. Oh, I get it now. You're one of these, reconstituted Republicans? Is that it?
No. How about this?
Well, until you figure out why you called, I got to go, okay?
All right.
Thanks. Maria, hi. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, man. I guess I better have it together, eh?
You can do anything you want. You can be anything you want. You can be all you can be.
Listen, I just heard your talk about...
In the Army.
Pardon?
Nothing.
I'm calling from Toronto, Canada.
I'm sorry?
I'm calling from Toronto, Canada.
Yeah, why are you telling me your problems?
I'm not telling you any problems.
Well, you just said you're calling from Toronto.
Very proud.
I thought
very
you said you're calling
Canadian.
From Toronto. You're telling me your problems.
You
know I'm just joking around.
I know, no problem. Mm. Do you know why I'm a proud Canadian? Because not a hell of a lot of us have guns out here. And I find that statistics show that people are going out into schoolyards because too many people, too many Americans have guns, and too many Charlton Heston types are always worried about having a gun. And I just find that in your country,
Maria, it's easy to, the statistics show, do they?
Okay,
the statistics
listen.
Show, huh? if you're sitting in a classroom, let's just take the stark cold reality of you sitting in a classroom, a school, where you've gone to be educated, and someone walks in with a gun. What, are you going to whip out statistics? What are you telling me?
No, I'm not saying that.
Our children have been attacked. Our teachers have been attacked.
Because you
law-abiding citizens like you, Maria, are being attacked. And you're trying to tell me that it's not sensible to fight back with a gun.
What I'm saying is,
if a man shoots a gun at you, what do you suggest somebody do, Maria?
No.
You got to answer that question first, and then I'll answer any question you've got. Somebody shoots at you, what do you suggest we do?
I'm saying the laws should show that you shouldn't have guns. There wouldn't be any problems. There would be knife fights. There would not be gun fights, is what I'm saying.
If the law said you couldn't have guns, there wouldn't be any guns. Is that what you're saying?
When I watch CNN and I hear of a five-year-old shooting his seven-year-old brother by accident, it's because there's a gun in the house.
No, it's because there's a moron parent in the house. No, it's because there's a stupid parent in the house.
No,
that's because there's a stupid parent in the house, yeah. They didn't lock the gun up, they didn't lock that weapon in a safe, they didn't have that ammunition away. It's because there's a jackass of a parent in the house. That's why that 5-year-old...
If there were no gun in the house,
right,
you wouldn't have the problem, is my point.
There'd only be one problem.
If cops have guns and armies have guns, that's fine.
Maria, can I say something here?
Civilians should not have guns.
Are you hearing me, or are you just reading from a pamphlet?
I'm not reading anything.
Okay.
Go ahead.
There's only one problem with your thesis.
All right.
Phil Hendry, criminal, obtains a weapon and smuggles it into the United States and goes to Maria's house, the house where the lady lives, who says if there's no guns, then everything's great. And there's no guns in your house, and there's no guns in your country. But the criminal Phil Hendry has now broken into your home, and I'm holding you with a gun and your husband. Now I proceed to rape you, maybe rape your daughter, and pistol whip your husband. And all through the night, you'll be imagining yourself thinking those words, if there were no guns, we wouldn't have any crime. You know something? Criminals obtain guns. And then your theory goes out the window. What are you going to do when the day comes that your theory doesn't hold water because a criminal got a hold of a gun?
I'm just saying the fact that guns are inexistent to the populace is the reason why there are these issues.
No,
I'm not disputing what you're saying.
It's simple-minded. You're a very intelligent woman, and for you to come out with something simple-minded like that stuns me. Guns were invented hundreds of years ago in a variety of ways, in a variety of shapes and sizes, for a variety of self-defense purposes. You're telling me that first jackass who invented a gun, if only that guy had died early and died young and never invented that gun, the world would be a better place today. Is that it?
Okay,
bow and arrows.
Okay.
Bows and arrows. We'd all be fine. How about a bow and an arrow?
Okay, but what you're promoting is this.
Self-defense.
Before you went to break, everyone...
Break.
Go out and get a gun.
I know, and I didn't say that, and it's really
Learn
unfortunate you didn't hear
it.
Me. I said every responsible citizen, law-abiding citizen who is legally entitled should go and buy a weapon and learn its use. Yes, I did say that. And you too, Maria, if you're a law-abiding citizen and you are a citizen who is legally entitled, you should go out and buy a gun and learn to use it. You can have fun with it in sport, you can do skeet shooting, and if some scumbag comes into your classroom some night, you can stick it up his keister and blow his balls off, and you'll have all kinds of fun telling your friends about it. I'm telling you, it'll be great. Listen, you're laughing because you know it'll be fun.
You know what?
Take your home back. Take your home back. Take your country. Oh. Let's take civilization back and quit making excuses. You're going to make excuses until you're extinct as a human being.
I'm not making excuses until our culture is extinct.
At certain times, all the discussion in the world and all the statistics in the world don't help you. You have to draw a line and say, you're giving me crime rates. You're giving me statistics. My engineer's going nuts because he wants me to hang up on you because I got to go to break. What should I do? Mark?
Wait, don't hang up on me. Let me just leave you with this.
All right. 1-800-449. I'm sorry, but it's been 5 minutes of this. Statistics show 1-800-449-8686. This is the Wyatt Earp radio program.
Bill Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686. 888-449-8686.
Herb Sewell coming up in a few minutes. Herb has written the book, Anyway the Wind Blows, 35 years as a meteorologist, and actually some of the funny things he's seen during hurricanes. And then Vernon Dozier will be talking about how you can survive your son not getting a college football scholarship and not feel like a loser like your son is. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. So anyway, about this gun stuff, which always gets the big calls. Oh, here we go again. Oh, yeah, talk about guns and they come pouring in. I would rather not talk about them. I wish to God I never had to talk about them. I'm like most people. Most civilized people are thinking the way I'm thinking today, and they're saying to themselves this. They're saying, I want to raise my kids, send them to school, take my wife to dinner, take a drive on the beach, park the car, and not have to worry about some pile of garbage pulling in and raping my wife or holding me at gunpoint and robbing me. I want to be able to love my country as an example of where a person can actually live a life that is secure. I want to be proud of this place. I want to maybe, you know, whatever that phony baloney vision of America used to be, who knows? Nobody's alive to tell us what it was really like. But the point is, we know what it would be, what we'd like it to be. Now, the saddest thing is that we're going to sit here and we're going to argue about the logic of defending ourselves. I didn't think I would ever have this conversation with reasonable human beings as long as I lived. I never thought it would happen. That a guy goes into a classroom here in Tennessee, holds people hostage, people that are going to school. And while they're sitting there with their hands tied behind their backs, we're sitting here chatting so enjoyably about statistics show. Yeah, okay. Well, here, let me just show you something else that statistics show. You ready? I got it right here. Statistics show what? Our kids go to school. Some guy comes walking in with his buddy. They got submachine guns. They got automatic weapons. They got explosives. They butcher up 13 kids. But what are we supposed to do now? Oh, yeah, I remember. Call 911. Hide under a desk. Hope to God you don't get found and shot, your brains all over the floor. A teacher lies in his own blood and asks a student, will you pull out the picture of my wife, please, so I can just look at her one more time. A teacher in a school, and it's not in Iraq, and it's not in Russia, it's in America, it's in the United States of America. Are you people getting this? Guy goes in to take a night class. Because maybe he'd like to lift his family up a little higher, make a little bit more money, move out of the neighborhood he's in and move into a better neighborhood. Next thing you know, somebody's got a gun in his face. A gun in his face. Because he's taken a class in a school? Kids are out on the playground. A playground. And they're on the swing sets. And some guy who knows what his problem is, I could care less. Biochemically twisted comes onto the schoolyard with an automatic weapon. Next thing you know, 10 kids are dead. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to hide under the desk and call 911. We're supposed to wait for the officers to arrive. We're supposed to get into an area that's secure and just hide and cry and piss ourselves while some guy stalks the halls shooting people at random, putting the gun to the backs of their heads and blowing their brains out. And there's nothing they can do about it. Execution style. When are we going to stand up like men and women? For God's sake! I'm not talking about anything other than Malcolm X himself. Malcolm X. You know, the guy that we're not supposed to like because he was some black nationalist. Malcolm X said self-defense is the highest form of common sense in a society where people are sticking a gun in your ribs. Well, guess what? You point one back at them. Unbelievable that we have to argue this. Unbelievable that we have to discuss this. I'm going to say it again. And I'll keep saying it because apparently it pisses off a few people. So you know what? I like that. I like it a lot. So here, let me say it again. If you're any kind of a responsible citizen and you are legally entitled to it, buy a gun, learn the operation of that weapon, learn the maintenance of that weapon, take gun safety classes, take target practice, become proficient in its use, and have it in your home. keep the weapon secure from children, keep the ammunition secure from children, make it clear to them that they are not to touch that weapon. Believe it or not, I know this is going to come as a stone shock to many of you, but there are millions of children that have grown up around guns and have never decided to go and find it and blow their brains out with it because they are taught gun safety. They understand what it is. You find a kid who's blowing his brains out with a gun, and I'll show you a parent that ought to be taken out and beaten with a crowbar. And whenever possible, whenever legally possible, carry that gun with you. Because I want to tell you something, man. If you start making it hot for these scumbags, if suddenly the word gets out that American citizens have armed themselves and are shooting back at these walking turds, then, well, you know what? That's kind of funny, but the crime rate seems to be slipping. Man attempts to hold up a liquor store, gets his brains blown out of his head. Guy tried to go into a classroom. Teacher pulled a weapon, shot him, killed him. Students attempting to commit some mass mayhem in a school, shot and killed by a couple of teachers, shot and killed by a principal. They were able to get off a couple of shots. They wounded a security guard, but they were killed on the spot, and then police were called. An intruder in a home down here in Hawthorne or in St. Paul or in Richmond or in Portland attempted entry into a home late last night. The homeowner blew his balls all over the backyard with a 10-gauge. It's a tragic thing. Really? Man and woman walking in their car from a restaurant the other night were confronted by a robber who demanded their money at gunpoint. He was shortly a tussle ensued, and he was shot and killed by the husband, or by the wife, or by both. You know, you don't have to be big and tough and strong. All you got to be able to do is squeeze a trigger. That's all. You don't have to know karate. You don't have to know taekwondo. You don't have to know how to, you know, samurai sword bullcrap. All you got to know is just that right finger, you know, just squeeze that sucker. That's all you got to do. You just can't keep sitting on your ass doing nothing, sports fans. And you're going to sit there and keep reading how another classroom was taken hostage by another scumbag? Not me, baby. Not me. So I'll say it for the fifth time. Responsible citizens who are legally entitled ought to go out and buy a gun, learn how to use it, keep it safe from the kids, and by God, we're all going to arm ourselves, and we're going to have to take our country back maybe one dead scumbag at a time. All right, so, hi, Laura. Well, I didn't know that you felt that way. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, Herb Sewell and his career as a meteorologist and the lighter side of hurricanes.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. And now, here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
We've got Herb Sewell with us, who is a meteorologist of 35 years, talking to us from his home in Albany, New York, where apparently you're right in the, I guess you're right in the path of Hurricane Isabel, isn't that correct?
Hitting us at some time, but the hurricane, by the time it gets to us, is definitely going to have dissipated. This is a Category 2, which is, Phil, a 100-mile-per-hour storm, and the I think the people in the area are pretty lucky because it was a Category 4 out over the ocean.
All right. By the way, hurricanes begin, or do they not begin in Africa?
Well, the tropical depressions starts in Africa, and then the tropical depression moves out over the ocean, over the Atlantic Ocean, and becomes a tropical storm. Technically, the wind speeds are around 40 miles an hour. And then the hurricane develops over the broad body of water. And that's when these dangerous wind speeds do develop.
All right, your book, Herb, is called Any Way the Wind Blows, My Life in Weather. You talk about doing the weather at various TV stations and your national break on Meteorology TV. And through it all, you said you enjoyed it and you never stopped laughing.
That is correct, Phil.
Why?
Well, you realize, I think, that that when a hurricane hits, what you're watching, while it's tragic in many respects, as it pertains to the populace, it can be very comical. And I let the reader in on this.
Give me examples of how a hurricane might be comical.
People scrambling to pack their cars, a dog or a cat that's left behind. You can look at the way people pack their cars during a hurricane. It really is amusing. It's not said in disrespect, but you look at them walking through the rubble of their home, for instance. When I was in Homestead, Florida, and I had gone down there following Andrew in 1992, and I found a window frame with the plywood still nailed to it, and I thought, in other words, the window frame had come off the house, the plywood was still on it, and I can tell you I thought I was going to piss myself laughing about that. Another time, after Hurricane Aaron, I was in Orlando, Florida, doing a report, and I saw this woman going through a home which had been flattened by this hurricane, and she was trying to decide which family pictures she wanted, because most had been destroyed. And I was looking at her, the way she'd pick up one picture, she'd put it down, and then she'd pick up another, and she was putting it down. And I say in the book that it was reminiscent of an Abbott and Costello routine, and I was trying to hold the laughter in out of respect, because she might think I was making fun, and my nose literally started to bleed. And that's when I couldn't hold it any longer, and I laughed with the blood coming down my face, pointing at this woman while she looked at me with the dumbest look you ever saw. And it's a wonderful story, and it's all in my book, Anyway the Wind Blows.
All right, we're talking with Herb Sewell, a meteorologist of 35 years. You're looking at a woman going through family pictures, and you're laughing?
I'm laughing, Phil, yes, because she looked silly, almost a Chaplin-esque. Do I keep this picture? Do I keep that picture? I have seen animals literally airborne. I've seen people airborne. In other words,
don't you think, if I could say, Herb, don't you think that though you've seen it all, that when people survive these events, when they survive these tornadoes, that it's not funny to them, that it can be maybe they've lost a family member.
You know, Phil, I've had tough times. I've had very dark times in my life. And I think what I try to say in my book is, you never saw me crying about it. I try to show people how stupid they look when they're crying about a hurricane or they're crying about a tornado. And I think what we're trying to let these people know who've been in earthquakes or cyclones, if you think you've had it bad, I look at my life and can be the little things that are frustrating. So I've had a very tough life, and one of the things I'm looking forward to is following this hurricane, when people start crying about their houses and crying about their personal effects, you're going to have a lot of very funny video looking at these people crying and blubbering, and it makes for wonderful entertainment.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Talking here to Don Berman. Not Don Berman. We're talking to Herb Sewell. Don was our newsman the other day. Herb has been a meteorologist for 35 years. He's written a book called Anyway the Wind Blows. You find people crying about losing their home, crying about losing a family member, funny, because you say you've had it tougher?
I look at my life. When you look at people who've survived a hurricane or who have been killed in a hurricane or who've had a home destroyed, and I think they look a little stupid, blubbering about it. And we've had some wonderful stories in our book where you see someone coming down the road after they were told to clear the area, and they come down the road with a gash in their head, and they're bleeding down the side of the head, holding a rag to it. And you say to them, "I told you so." And it's a funny moment. The reason why I can laugh at people who have been injured in hurricanes is because my life has been difficult. I look at my life. And
can you give us examples of, if I survive a hurricane, but I look at your life, How much worse?
Well, I'll ask you this question. Have you ever had to watch your only child walk out the door, a married woman, leaving the nest, and off married? My wife and I did. And I can tell you there's nothing going on in that hurricane right now that beats the pain that I felt that day. Have you ever had a prostate exam? And I can assure you it's not pleasant, and I had to take it twice because the doctor lost the sample, so I had to go back in, park my car, take my pants down, and watch him, grease up another rubber glove. I want to remind these hurricane people, I guess, Phil, to lighten up and have a good laugh. All they need to do is look at my pain, and all of a sudden their torn down home doesn't seem all that bad.
All right. Herb, so you use as an example of what real pain is your life.
That is what we endeavor to do. And my wife, Kathy, and I helped me with the research. We talked there about a day in early 1991 that I had to go to a neighbor's home. And I took that long walk up the sidewalk, and I knocked on the door, and I told him that I was responsible for killing a beloved pet. And then I had to stand there and watch as they tried to extract the animal from a fan belt. On my car, they had to crawl up under there. This is pain that I felt. And so the pain felt by people in a hurricane, whether it's fear or whether it's loss of a loved one, I'm sure you can see it sort of pales in comparison. And
well, the purpose of your book, then, is to get people who've been in tragedies like natural disasters, whether it's an earthquake, whether it's a tornado, whether it's a hurricane, as you say, to lighten up.
Absolutely. I think the American people are done looking at these hurricane survivors crying, and we're tired of looking at them complaining about not enough FEMA money and complaining that the insurance company is coming through and complaining that they... that they were injured or complaining. Take a look at someone else's life. Walk a mile in another man's shoes, and I think you're going to see. But I do know this. After this hurricane Isabel goes through, we're going to have some great, great times looking at how silly a lot of these people are.
Now, before we go to our break, I got to ask you something. You sound a little insensitive to the plight of hurricane victims and survivors.
No, I wouldn't say that.
Is it? Have you gotten jaded over 35 years?
I would think, Phil, that as a meteorologist, I've seen it all over 35 years. And I think I've seen one too many hurricane survivors crying about their house. So I collected all of their silly stories. And Hurricane Andrew in Miami was one that I got some great stories out of that. A man who had attempted to drive down the street in his car, and he got the trunk of a palm tree right through the windshield. And they only found half of his body, and that's very gruesome. And it
absolutely.
But when the police got there, the police sergeant who found half the body, as it had been taken apart by this palm tree, he said, well, plant that one down there and plant that one down there, pointing to the body. So it was a joke. And it was and it's another one of the lighthearted moments in my book.
All right, Herbert Sewell, meteorologist. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Do you think that hurricane victims ought to just lighten up and take a look at how hard life is for other people? He's written a book talking about how their pain doesn't compare to the pain that he has been through in his life. He watched his daughter get married and leave the nest for the first time. He had to tell a neighbor that he'd been responsible for running over their dog with his car. They had lost the original sample on his prostate exam. These are these little moments of pain that can add up to much, much greater pain than anything someone feels in a hurricane. 1-800-449-8686. The other thing that I want to get into is he has been in touch with FEMA, and they will earmark a portion of their money to go to purchasing 50,000 copies of his book as well, so that people in hurricane situations will get a copy of his book any way the wind blows. We'll be back on The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Making hot brownies. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Did you say, Herb Sewell is with us, meteorologist. You're suffering from male pattern baldness.
I got the news from my doctor, Phil, 2 days ago that I'm losing my hair. I'm 43 years of age, and I don't know if there are a lot of people that can relate to this, but to be 43 and to have a healthy head of hair up to that point and be told that you're losing your hair, and then to have to go back to the meteorological center and listen to the crying and the bitching and the moaning of people who are in this hurricane.
But again, it sounds like insensitivity to their plight.
No, I'm not insensitive to their plight, but I'm saying, who cares about me? I'm supposed to care about them, and I got the word today that I'm losing my hair. 35 years as a meteorologist has taught me one thing. If you don't like hurricanes, pick your cracker rear end up, put it in a car, and drive away from it until the big bad wind blows away. But my hair will fall out forever. The hurricane will go away.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Angela, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Angela.
Hello, yes.
Go ahead, ma'am.
I can't actually believe what I'm hearing. I'm sitting here listening to this, and I'm wondering if it's for real. I can't believe that someone would compare losing hair and having to go over and see an animal compared to someone losing a family member in something like a hurricane.
No, what I said, Angela, was this. I said that, can you hear me, dear?
Yes, I can.
I said that I had run over their dog. I had killed their dog. It's not seeing an animal. I had murdered their dog. And I'm not murdered, but I had killed it by accident. And then I'm looking at television at the Meteorological Center, because we track six different storm systems every day. And there's some overweight North Carolina woman crying about her windows got broken, you know.
So you're making assumptions about how other what affects other people's lives. I mean, what if you talked about your daughter walking out and
that's
leaving the nest?
Yes.
What if your daughter died? You're comparing something like your daughter leaving the nest. She's still alive. You can still enjoy her life.
I think, Angela, my daughter dying might be preferable to her leaving the nest with this young man who we never approved of. She's married some Iranian gentleman, which I'm sorry, I have a very serious problem with them. And now she's at his home eating pickled limes, and I'm supposed to worry about some hillbilly who...
Wait. Angela's point, I think you're missing. Your daughter eating pickled limes with an Iranian husband can't possibly be worse than a family losing their home.
Mr. Henry, unless you've lived my life, I would suggest you not comment on it. And the same would go with your caller.
Well, how can you comment about other people's lives then as well?
I've seen that.
The same thing to you.
Well, that's a very good point. But for 35 years, I've been a meteorologist. But I have to go to bed every night thinking about some Iranian's greasy hands, all over my daughter. And
you're telling us that an Iranian's greasy hands all over your daughter is far worse than a
No, I didn't say far worse. I said a family losing their home to a hurricane is funnier. And I think that's where we're missing the point.
Well, I think personally for me, I don't think there's anything funny about someone losing their home, but
No, you're right. You're right. It's not until you have a daughter who every night has to submit to some oily Persian.
Well, man.
I'm sorry if I'm shocking you.
Well, you're shocking me a little bit. I.
It's highly personal. Highly personal.
Yeah.
Angela, thank you. Yeah. Anything else, dear?
No, I give him a lot of credit, I guess, for getting on the air and talking about and expressing his views like this, because I think he is insensitive, and it's very hard for people to hear where he's coming from.
Well, I just saw...
Give you a lot of credit.
All right, Angela, can I tell you, I just saw one of the monitors here, someone crying because a tree blew on top of their car with a child inside. Now, the child is fine. They're cutting him out with the jaws of life right now. He'll probably be fine. If he's at worst a leg brace or something, but I'm losing my hair. And for a woman, I don't think you can understand, because the only thing that you have to deal with is once a month
bleeding. But
okay, come on. You know.
No, but I'm trying to say
a kid in a car, pinned in a car.
They're cutting him out with the jaws of life. Hello.
That's outrageous.
Yes, it is outrageous, and I'm losing my hair, a thick, luscious head of hair.
Are you saying that because your hair loss will be permanent and the kid will get cut out of the car, your thing is worse?
Oh, absolutely, yes. Absolutely, absolutely.
All right, Angela, thank you for your call.
You're welcome.
1-800-449-8686. Let's go over here to Valaney. Valaney, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, ma'am, thank you.
I think this man is way out in left field. He's out to lunch. Comparing prostate exams with somebody losing a loved one in a hurricane?
No, what I said, Valaney, was that I had to go back for another prostate exam because...
So what? So what? Many men go back every year. What's the big deal about losing your hair? You know how many bald men are out there? You want to compare that to losing a life of your child
but
in
when
a
you,
hurricane?
Okay, let me ask you...
Come on, man!
No, I didn't say a die.
You make me angry, all right?
No, ma'am. Not
losing your daughter for getting married?
No,
come
ma'am.
Come on!
Not...
Everybody gets married. Get on with life. You need some psychotherapy.
Oh, have you ever lost your hair?
Oh, come on!
Have you ever lost...
That's not a life and death situation.
But you know... Valaney, can
I... You need some help, man.
No,
you
ma'am.
Need some
I need
help
to ask you. I need to ask you a question. When you see a bald man, you wouldn't consider going to bed with him, would you?
Oh yes, I would. As a matter of fact, my husband is bald. I don't have any problems with
was
that.
Was he
That's
bald?
Not a life-threatening situation.
Was he bald when you married him?
Yes, he was.
Well, then you're
you
one
have
in a
problem with that.
No, you're
That's
one
what
in a.
That's I'm saying. That's exactly my point. You need some psychotherapy to deal with your personal problems.
But
do not compare them with the life-threatening situations of the population in general.
I think that's what we're trying to say here, Mr. Sewell, that a hurricane which can tear down a family's home, which can take life, how can that compare to you having to go back in for a prostate exam?
I'm talking about the pain that adds up, the pain that when you see your first gray hair on your private region, you'll think Hurricane Isabel is a soft...
Oh, my God. You know, you do need help. You do. I really
I don't understand.
To go for some help.
Why?
I'm serious.
Well, you know something.
I'm a nurse. I know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
You're out of contact with reality.
Ma'am,
you need some psychotherapy really fast or you're going to be out of control.
Ma'am, you can rebuild a home. You can't replace.
You can't replace your husband who died in a hurricane has split in half. You cannot replace your pets. You cannot
right.
replace your children. That's
right.
what we're talking about.
When you said that you that
your
this cop
pain,
made it...
Your
yeah.
pain that you go through...
You can remarry. You can remarry. You see what I'm saying?
The pain that you go through is pain that everybody faces in everyday life. That's part of living. The pain that we're talking about is loss of life.
Valaney,
okay? Which you find comical. And in my opinion, you're sick. You need some help.
Valaney,
I have
seen gray hair in my pubic region. Have you?
No. I don't need to see that. That's part of life.
Unless
I don't have a problem with that. Man, get on with life. Get some help.
You don't have any... So in other words, your pubic hair is not gray yet. That answers my question.
I don't have to answer
you
that.
Thank you, dear. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Hurricane Isabel bears down on the East Coast. Herb Sewell, who is a meteorologist, 35 years on meteorology TV, has written a book called Anyway the Wind Blows. 35 years of meteorology has written a book that sort of chronicles some of the lighter moments in hurricanes. You talked about a tree literally cutting a man in half, and you said the joke that the sheriff made was about planting this here and planting that one there. One of the things we're having a hard time with is that there is a lot of real pain with hurricanes, but you've compared having prostate exams, etc.
Well, Phil, the obvious thing to say to you is this, that...
Well, you're saying, for instance, that an Iranian marrying your daughter is worse.
No, again, it's funny. It's funny to think about a man losing his life in a hurricane to a massive electrocution when you compare that to the fact that for the last 2.5 years, I have awakened in a cold sweat, remembering as if in a nightmare, that my daughter is married to this greasy Persian. And
are you a racist, sir?
No, I'm not a racist.
Well, how can your daughter being married to a so-called greasy Persian be worse than a guy being electrocuted in a hurricane?
Because that man, first of all, most people who die in hurricanes are southern. They live at the coast. They can't possibly be that intelligent. So to imagine them dying in a painful way, it can be fun. I, on the other hand, have been told that I am a high candidate for testicular cancer, and that the other day I took a ball cap off at a Dodger game and had 13 hairs fall out of the brim liner. And you want to tell me about your problems? Jesus Christ.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Christina. Go ahead, Christina.
Okay, buddy, you are so full of crap. Like, how the hell can you compare losing your daughter to a man that she probably loves to somebody losing their home in a hurricane and who will probably never get back their family heirloom or anything, and who may not be able to build their houses? Like, buddy,
First of all, you can get another husband. You can get another house. You can get another piece of property.
Yeah, but some of these people may not be able to afford another house. They may have put all of their money into this home.
No. The insurance money will recoup every loss that they've had.
Yeah, and how long will they have to wait? Months?
Can you tell me honestly that you think it's more comfortable to sit down to a foul-smelling goat dinner that was cooked by your Iranian daughter-in-law or daughter?
Why not?
Be able to rebuild a beautiful home in the panhandle of Florida? I don't see any difference.
Personally, I would rather have my daughter's love and relationship with a man that she loves than anything.
Have my daughter's love because I've kept silent about this Persian she married.
Well, if she's listening to this right now, are so screwed.
A few 30-foot swells, a lot easier to handle than having one of my two testicles removed because of the improper diet that my wife forced upon me when we were married 35 years ago.
Well, then that's your problem.
Wait a minute. I got to ask you, Herb, this thing with your daughter, this sounds like what's bothering you. This sounds like what's bothering you, and
counseling.
I don't need any counseling. I've been a meteorologist for 35 years.
You do need counseling.
Well, what do you know about weather?
If your daughter is married and in love, then you need counseling.
What do you know about weather? Having your dog blown into the next county is a lot easier than me losing my hair because you can get another dog. You can get another dog, for God's sake. I'll never get my hair back. The hair club for men.
Some people are attached to these things. Some people have heirlooms. Some people have things that they are attached to that they will never get back.
And you keep saying the word heirloom as if you think that's funny, but some people who...
Heirloom.
I know what she's saying, but she's saying heirloom because she wants to insult me.
You've already insulted yourself.
No, ma'am, I can tell you that, listen.
Let me ask you, are you having FEMA earmark a portion of their money to purchase 50,000 copies of your book?
I'm not asking. I'm telling people to buy my book so that when the crying and bitching starts after this hurricane, you'll be able to read my life and feel a little shamed. I've already been in touch with FEMA.
I wouldn't want to read your life, buddy. It sounds sad and pathetic.
Christina, ask your husband whether he'd rather lose a home to a hurricane or lose one of his balls.
He would probably rather lose a home to a hurricane.
There you go. There you go. That's my point exactly.
Okay, Christina, thank you.
You're welcome.
1-800-449-8686. Are you really going to lose one of your testicles?
I don't know, but they said that I'm a good candidate for... the doctor was acute. He said... they could put a ping pong ball in there. He thought he was funny, and I don't find it funny at all.
And FEMA is going to buy 50,000 copies of your book.
Yeah, I'm hoping that they will, which means that the taxpayers will pick up the cost. And I suppose that's something else that'll get people pissed off.
That FEMA will buy 50,000 copies of your book and hand it out to hurricane survivors? Yeah.
Well, the taxpayers are picking up the expense. The people that survived the hurricane... are going to be the beneficiaries. Everybody else is putting out and not getting back. But I'd like people, and they'll earmark a portion of the money so these people in the hurricane can know what real suffering is.
Well, so far what you've brought up as an example of suffering is your daughter marrying a greasy Iranian, and you're losing your hair. And
that is not all that I brought up, Mr. Henry. There's an awful lot more.
1-800-449-8686. Karen, go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, Karen. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I think this guy's a joke. This has got to be some kind of... Nobody's that insane, or he's been hit in the head with lightning too many times.
Mr. Sewell, I want to ask you something. Is this some kind of a broad joke?
Well, if you find the suffering of a lifetime or the suffering of hurricane survivors funny...
No, I find
it is a joke. I don't find any of it funny.
I find you very funny. I find there's just nobody that can be that insensitive, or it's just insane.
I'm 35 years. What did I say? I'm 35 years as a meteorologist. I've seen all the pissing and moaning that I want to see.
I don't think anybody can compare their pubic hairs turning gray to people dying. Like, nobody is that insane.
Wait a minute. You're a woman. You're a female, and it's well known how vain females are. And
not after you have four kids, you're not.
And pubic hair turning gray doesn't mean anything to you.
Well, I'd rather my pubes turn gray than have a house fall on my sister. You know what I mean?
I'd rather have a house fall on my sister. And that's just the difference between you and me.
I don't know what rock you crawled out from under, but you're insane.
What do you mean,
yes.
35 years as a meteorologist, and my daughter went against my wishes... And became a
Persian. Did she leave the country?
No, she's in the United States, so I've got to go over to their...
Is she far from you?
No.
She didn't get far enough away, obviously.
Isn't that... I've interviewed many hurricane survivors, and before they check to see if their dog is safe, they take a look in their underwear to check for guitar string hairs.
I think you're insane.
I'm insane.
And it's a funny show.
Well, you know what? That's really funny.
A funny show?
Yeah, you're hysterical. Well, nobody is insane.
Ma'am, maybe not in Canada, but down here we're crazy. We're crazier than a crap house rat.
Crazy like a fox.
All right, okay.
Yeah, that's it. Crazy like a fox. Isn't that cute?
Yeah.
Well, Melinda Lee will be on next.
Oh, shut up. Listen, Karen, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right, thank you.
Jesus H. You get a new affiliate in Canada and then all is square.
All right, see you later. That's Herb Sewell, and I won't even tell you the publisher of his book. I'd rather you not buy it. Anyway, the wind blows. Stories of pain and suffering, 35 years in the meteorological business, and he says he'd much, much rather live through a hurricane, I guess, than have his daughter marry an oily Persian as she did. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, 2 feet shorter than models.
Haven't done our sports file in a while, but we've got news that a Carolina Panther defensive back by the name of Jared Cooper arrested early Tuesday morning and charged with driving while intoxicated, speeding, driving with a revoked license, and possession of a controlled substance. This is the second time Cooper's been arrested for drunken driving while playing for the Panthers. So this guy's a drunk. And he needs some juice rehabilitation. So get this drunk off your lineup and get him into a rehab clinic and get him off your roster and get serious. Supposedly these ball clubs care about their players, right? This guy is an alcoholic. Do you get it? So he shouldn't be playing football. He got to be drying out someplace. He got to be strapped to a gurney somewhere and pumped full of paraldehyde and Thorazine and dry his ass out. This is the second time that Cooper's been arrested for drunk driving while playing for the Panthers. He was given a 90-day suspended sentence and placed on a year's probation in August of 2002 following a one-car crash near Sam Wilson Road, wherever the hell. Test at the time, he had a blood alcohol limit. He had a blood alcohol content of 0.18. I mean, you are rat-assed on 0.18, my friend. The day of the sentencing, Cooper apologized to Charlotte and Panther fans, blah, blah, blah. I learned a lesson, blah, blah. I feel like I've gotten another chance, blah, 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 blah. Cooper's a special teams player. Panthers have been plagued by behavioral problems among their players. Yeah, like murder. Plagued by behavioral problems. They've got a piece of garbage that's still rotten in jail. I hope Ray Carruth doesn't get the death penalty. I hope they let him rot slow. Rot slow and rot, rot slow and easy there, Ray. I hope you rot until you can smell the stink before you're dead. Unfreaking real. The Panthers ought to hire somebody to have Carruth killed. If you had any decency at all, if you had any common decency at all, the Carolina Panthers would take out a contract on Ray Carruth. That you this is what I mean when I say these ball clubs turn these animals loose on society. This animal was turned loose on society by the Carolina Panthers. And I would think, just as a way of saying we're sorry that we ever came into your miserable lives, they take a contract out on Carruth and have him killed. Because God knows we're all supposed to get down on our hands and knees now and kiss your ass because you're 2-0. Big deal. Big deal. Hey, the Panthers are 2-0. Hey, all right. They're so hot and bothered about getting a football team in Charlotte. You know, these small, you know, these Bergs really kill me. These Bergs, when they get their big NFL shot, they would, you talk about crawling through any sewer. Remember what you were saying yesterday about Mackey, that attorney for what's his name? What's the kid's name again? Bryant, the guy that plays, he bounces a big round ball, it goes up and down, and then you throw it up into the thing. Oh, yeah, yeah, Kobe Bryant. You talk about crawling through any sewer. NFL fans will crawl through any sewer just so they can have an NFL team. And when Charlotte got their team back in whenever the hell it was, I cursed the day, oh, they just said, woohoo, hallelujah, pro football, come to Charlotte. Yeah, baby. And they got a ballpark, and they buy souvenirs, and they're all big time, man. They're all big city, huh? Big city. We used to be on a netberg. Of course, if we are on again, we'll just love the Panthers. Carruth was sentenced to 18 years and 4 months to 24 years and 4 months. The maximum sentence is 25 years for what? Conspiracy to commit murder? Or I think, what is it called? A commission to conspiracy to commit murder? Something like that? So that's the story there. The Buccaneers, by the way, still don't know how to tell time, and we haven't heard back from them about some of the sweethearts that play for them. Let me see what else. The Panthers, Steve Smith. What is this? Lamar Smith charged with drunk driving on Thanksgiving last year. Wide receiver Steve Smith suspended for one game after he hit a teammate during a meeting, and on and on and on and on it goes. But anything is worth it if you get yourself a Super Bowl. So that, and also we have that Hamilton County in Cincinnati has dropped their lawsuit against the Cincinnati Bengals, which is a crying shame. They were suing the Bengals because the Bengals are so pathetically bad that it breaks all records. It stretches your ability to reason how rotten the football team can be. And so naturally, a very, I would say, public-minded county commissioner for the county of Hamilton in Ohio decided that he would naturally, logically, sue the Bengals for stinking the joint out. Sue them and get their money back. See, you got a football team, right? Oh, it's fantastic. Well, when we put it in the stadium, do you think we'll make money? Make money. Sir, we're the National Football League. We're the National Football League. Of course you'll make money. Well, of course they didn't. The Bengals came in, stunk the place up so bad that nobody even wants to go there. They don't even want to go there to see if they left their purse. They don't want to go there to see if they left their wallet. They'd rather just as soon lose the $100. That's how bad they want to stay out of that stadium. And then there's a letter from the commissioner of the National Football League, Paul Tagliabue, who tries to encourage this commissioner, Todd Portune. Oh, well, then you don't want to do that. If you sue, then it's going to make life more difficult for you. He kind of vaguely threatens him. So they dropped the lawsuit against the Bengals. So the Bengals are home free, and they can continue to just be a boil on the ass of football that they've always been. Although I think Joe Dickhead's going to pick them this weekend to beat the... Seriously, Dickhead picked them to beat the Steelers. You know why? Because, frankly, offensively and defensively, they're not much worse than the Steelers. The Steelers are no bargain this year. No bargain at all. And the Bengals, I think, what's-his-face, Kitna's thrown fewer picks than that other guy that played. What's-his-name, Tommy Kramer, Maddox? Kitna's thrown fewer picks than Maddox, so watch the Bengals upset the Steelers at home at, what is it called, Cincinnati Ass Crack Stadium this coming weekend. Now, the Kobe Bryant file, what else is going on? Oh, you didn't hear, huh? The apparently, the county sheriff there in Colorado has been cleared, as has the district attorney cleared in an investigation of having leaked any information about this case to the press. The defense attorneys, Mackey and Haddon, had accused the DA and the sheriff of leaking confidential details of the Kobe Bryant case to the press. To which, of course, you know what we say, nice going, Pamela, nice subterfuge again, baby. Point the finger at somebody else so you can get away as clean as a baby's rear end. Who are you kidding? Did the Hamilton, did the DA leak it? We know who was leaking it. And maybe you need some diapers over there at Mackey and Haddon if you're leaking it. Hey, yeah, okay, let's point the finger at them because, Roger Wilco went out. The only people leaking anything in this case are you cats. Come on, use your common sense. Who's desperate to win this case? Because a man's basketball career is at stake, and more importantly for Pamela Mackey, her law firm is at stake. You got it. Who do you think's going to be leaking information? Who do you think seriously got the axe to grind here? The Eagle County DA? Forget about it. It's this Mackey and this Haddon, and these guys are leaking everything, man. They are squirting it all over the place. They're leaking so much information, people are having to towel off. They're leaking so much information, man, they got to towel their faces off after a session with these guys. So you watch. A number of print and broadcast media stories have detailed the investigation and quoted anonymous sources. And so Kobe's attorneys, they got to look into this one. Oh, my God. They're good over there, that Mackey and Haddon, aren't they? They're good. Well, they've been getting rapists off for years, so I don't know what they're doing. They've been getting husbands that beat their wives, rapists, child molesters. I don't know what the hell they specialize in. But if you crawl on your belly through the sewer, man, crawl on into Pamela Mackey's office, baby, at the corner of 5th and Main, Denver. Crawling on your belly like a reptile? Crawl on in to Mackey and Haddon. 1-800-449-8686. Free web weekend coming up this weekend. Go to our website. It's all free. You don't need a backstage pass. And on top of that, tomorrow, you can download our show. Just live stream our show. Download it, baby. Keep a hard copy, baby. It's unbelievable. It's happening this weekend starting tomorrow. PhilHendryShow.com.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
one 800 449 8686. And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
Mr. Vernon Dozier is a high school football coach. He also has a seminar on helping parents and their young men adjust to college, especially college athletics. He joins us from his home in South Pasadena. And we've been talking a lot about the Hurricanes. We're going to talk some sports, Mr. Dozier. Your son, Trent, is a high school standout at Belmar Academy, correct?
That is correct, Phil. Our son Trent is a quarterback and received a 6-year scholarship to University of Southern California, and we are very, very proud of him.
That's a 6-year. When you say 6-year, that is?
That is a gray shirt and a red shirt. So gray shirt is freshman year. Red shirt is sophomore year, and then he will technically start as a freshman football player in his third year. But we are excited, and he is going to be a part of the University of Southern California football tradition. USC is college football, and
so that's exciting for you guys getting this letter that your son will go to the USC, University of Southern California. You got the call, or you got a letter from recruiters?
We got a call from the recruiters telling us that Trent had been accepted. My wife and I were very excited, and that's kind of when I looked over at Kathy. Kathy's here right now, and I said, don't ever go against me again when it comes to raising this boy, because you know my idea is going to the USC, because we had a lot of arguments, and she thought she knew better, but I don't think anyone knows their son better than a father. And
how does your son feel about it?
He's still a senior in high school, so it hasn't sunk in. He's doing what a lot of seniors are doing. He's out drinking and driving and doing all these youthful things. So he's gotten in trouble with some drugs and this kind of thing. But it's what you do when you're a senior. So we let him get it out of his system. But here's what's most important to the other fathers. We got 10 or 15 other fathers at our school. And when I told them that Trent had gotten a call from USC, I could see that they were disappointed, that they wanted their sons in. And how do you tell a man that you can survive and be happy even though your son is not, you know, any good or he fails at football? So I said to my wife, Kathy, here's where you can earn your keep.
Will you earn your to your wife?
I said to my wife, this is where you can earn your keep, because she had gone against me every step of the way with Trent. And I said to her, and I was half-joking, I said, you're about as useless as whatever, so what good are you? I said, here's where maybe you can earn your keep as the mother. I said to her, let's print up a flyer and have a seminar and help these fathers cope with the fact that their boys certainly aren't as good as mine.
All right, now this is the seminar that you're having, a weekly seminar at your home. It helps the fathers of high school football players who will not go, who will not get a scholarship.
That is correct, yeah.
And this was something that came to mind because you saw a lot of fathers looking disappointed that their boys didn't get a scholarship in football, but yours did.
I saw a lot of men look at me with a great deal of jealousy. You got to understand something, that I worked with my son Trent from the time he was born. This boy is going to be a quarterback. I swore, and I can remember it was a small church in Manhattan, and I was there on business, and it was a small church. And I went in, and I dropped to my knees, and I said to God, help me help the boy. All I want to do is help the boy. And I said, if you'll let me get this kid to be a professional quarterback in the National Football League, I don't think there is anything I wouldn't do for you, Lord, and that includes any abomination. And I meant that in a very good way. I didn't want, but I wanted God to know that I'd do anything for him. And he has come close to answering my prayers. My boy's got a 6-year ride to a major college. The difference between me and these other fathers is their boys don't get a scholarship, and so they have to sit and look at a son that may look like a loser, and they themselves feel like losers. And it's devastating for them to have to come to the reality that their sons are losers, and God is showing me how to help them. So this is how I'm repaying God. He gave my son a 6-year scholarship at the University of Southern California. So I will repay these fathers by showing them that they can live vicariously through me and not feel like they're such complete and utter losers. And it's something I just want to do, Phil.
All right. We're talking here with Vernon Dozier, a high school football coach. The seminar is on helping fathers. You say helping fathers and sons cope with the realities of college sports, but in point of fact, it is for fathers and sons who, for sons specifically, who don't make it in college sports. And you are saying that it's to enable those fathers to not feel like losers that their sons didn't get a football scholarship, correct?
That's it, pretty much it, yeah, Phil. In other words, my son did get a scholarship, and all these other guys are jealous. And they're also having to look at their sons now as failures. And so how do you deal with that? With our seminar, I say to them, live through me and feel what it's like to be me. And at least for a few moments of your life, you won't feel like you're just a waste of space and your son is a waste of space.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Here in the United States, we have football scholarships to college. Young men who are excelling at the high school level may be offered a scholarship in football, which means their tuition is paid for, their dorm is paid for, their room and board is paid for, they have tutoring, they have all kinds of benefits. It's quite a wonderful thing. And Vernon, your son got a scholarship, but the other fathers of the other kids on the team didn't. Now, I know you're saying they feel like losers. How do you know they feel like losers?
Well, I called them up when we heard that Trent got the scholarship, and I said to this one man by the name of Bob Bailey, I said, Bob, Trent's got a 6-year ride at USC. We just got the word. And there was silence, and I knew what was going on. I knew that he was white-knuckling it all the way. I knew that he was... He sort of blurted out congratulations through clenched teeth, but I knew his boy was the running back, Weston Bailey, who's our running back. And my son had to carry this kid all year. He was not that good. And his father, I would talk to his father, and his father would say things like, well, we'd like to decide on UCLA or Northwestern. And I thought I was going to laugh until I spit up, because I knew that his son, my son, had to carry him. If it wasn't for my son's passing ability to open up the running game, that kid would have been dead meat. So when I heard him say, yeah, we can't wait for the big scholarship to arrive from Northwestern, I thought I would lose control of every bodily function. And I said to him, Bill, I want to be very kind here, but your boy couldn't carry a loaf of bread home. I mean, and that kind of soured our relationship. So we
are. You insulted this man, though.
I didn't want to insult him.
No, but when you said your boy couldn't carry a loaf of bread, so this kid's a running back, yeah?
Yeah, that's what his father thinks he is.
Well, was he the starting running back?
He was the starting running back.
But he wasn't good enough, so he's not that good.
No, the kid is lousy. He's lousy. And most of these fathers
that I talk to, their kids are just not as good as my son.
Mr. Dozier, it sounds like you've got a lot of pride in your son, which I think is admirable. But are you overbuilding the case?
I'm sorry?
Are you overbuilding the case on your son and making these other guys look not that good?
Well, okay, if I'm overbuilding the case, then tell me why. A, my son's the only one who got a scholarship to a major college. And all the other boys on the team, and that's offense, defense, special teams, whatever you're talking about, none of them got a Division I scholarship except my son. Okay, so if I'm overbuilding the case, okay.
Well, what about this Bailey kid? Did he get a scholarship?
He got a ride to some, I don't know, it's a small college back east, and it's not even worth mentioning. He's not in the class of my son. So I'm having this seminar for these fathers to basically say to them, look, quit kidding yourself. You're not the father of a college Division I player. I am. And you're not going to be me. But you can at least be happy being you, which may not be much, you know, in that.
Well, I mean, it sounds like the whole thing's aggrandizing you.
No, no, I'm just saying, I wouldn't want to be them, the fathers of losers, but I...
Why do you call these boys losers if they don't have the...
Because in the world of high school football, they're not losers, they're just... I wouldn't want to be any of these guys, that's all. And I'm trying to make them feel better for the fact that their kids... they are not that good, so...
All right, 1-800-449-8686. So this gentleman, Mr. Dozier's son, got a college scholarship in football. The other father's sons did not. And he is going to try to help these men. He's going to try to help these men get through it. How do you do that? Well, one of the things he says is you have to slowly but surely distance yourself from your son. Many fathers kind of identify with their kids' exploits. That's the question I wanted to ask you, Mr. Dozier. So distance yourself from your son?
Yeah, well, you grow up hoping that your boy will live out your dream. And then you realize that he's a pathetic, Jesus H, he can't play football. You don't want to be that close to that kid anymore because he makes you look like a turd in a punch bowl. So I would say there are solutions. And one of the solutions...
All right, well, let's get to the solution when we get back, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, that's all I wanted to do. We'll get to one of the solutions on how to not feel so bad about your kid being a loser because he doesn't get a college football scholarship. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Rather be playing Madden 2003. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
How do you deal with the disappointment that your son didn't get a football scholarship, especially when another father's son did get a football scholarship? Vernon Dozier is with us. His son did get a six-year scholarship to USC, and you have a seminar for fathers dealing with their disappointment in their sons. And I'm wondering how healthy it is for a father to be disappointed in his son because his son didn't get a football scholarship. You see what I'm saying?
Well, I see what you're saying, Phil, but it's important to understand that when you put your son into a high school football program, you've got one goal and one goal in mind, and that is to get your son to play Division I college football. When your boy does not make it, when he disappoints you, I think you have every right to show your disappointment. And what we tell our fathers, what we tell these teachers, these fathers who are not as lucky as, for instance, Kathy and I, our boy is going to be playing big-time football. I'll be sitting at home watching I won't be watching television. I'll get to go to the games. They'll give us 50-yard line seats. We can walk on the field. Okay? This is something that are you there, Mr. Henry?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Okay. See, they let us walk on the field. All right.
All right, so they let you walk on the field.
We get to walk on the field. We get to go see the weight room. We get to be with the alumni. And the alumni of USC are some of the most distinguished men and women. And I was a high school dropout, and I never got to be around people like that. And now I'm going to get to be with distinguished men and women, and these other fathers, they hate me for it, and I'm sorry that they do. And I'm trying to show them it isn't my fault, it's your son's fault. He made you look like an ass. He's embarrassed you, And the only thing you can do to exercise this is to do some of the exercises that we tell them to do, which is to take some of the personal effects, like I was telling you.
Well, you're having the fathers take the personal effects of their sons, some of the things that their sons value, music, a jacket, put it in a pile on the front lawn, and you say urinate on it?
No, sir, I did not say that.
Well, that's one of the things you said is to urinate on your kid's stuff.
No, I said whatever is going to release the disappointment that you feel. I also said, as a way of positively talking about this, that they can come to a game with me, they can sign up, and I'll let them come and they can walk on the field too. And also, I'll let them meet the coaches and everything. Now, they can't have the USC parents' license plate. That is only for the parents of USC players. But we have a stack of T-shirts that the team wore last year, the grads of 2003, that have been laundered, and we'd love to let them have one of those, and they can walk on the field, but then they have to leave and go back up to the stands. I get to stay on the field until kickoff, because I'm a parent of a player. Also, I get to go to the locker room, and they don't. But I'll let them come to the locker room with me one time only. But I'd like them to stop writing the anonymous postcards. And Bill Bailey, you know who you are. And
all right, hold on. Let me get a phone call. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Dozier, congratulations. Your son's playing 1A football. Don't be paranoid, though.
Well, these other fathers whose sons, they're the ones.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Mike, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I'm listening from Michigan, and I just happened to turn the radio on, and I just can't believe the way this guy is referring to 18-year-old kids who didn't get a college scholarship. You know, a lot of these kids will go on to the military and serve our country and do great things. A lot of these kids will get trades and jobs. It's terrible the way you talk about these kids. And I think as far as...
Well, all right, do you have a son?
I wouldn't pay a cent to see your seminar.
Do you have a son?
I have a daughter. She's 10 years old. What's that supposed to mean?
Well, you don't even know what I'm talking about, then. You got a daughter. What, are you going to try to get her into softball or something? I mean, I'm talking about a son.
I don't know what the heck you're talking about, but all I know is the way you're talking about your...
You don't know what I'm talking
your
about?
Your son's teammate.
Do you have a
you're
kid?
You're very disrespectful.
Do you have a kid?
And I hope one of those fathers stands up and tells you to your face what it
is. My son will be entertaining you in the NFL someday. What's your daughter going to do for me?
What's my daughter going to do for you?
Yeah, my son will be
going to do nothing for you, buddy.
But my son will be in the National Football League entertaining your lazy ass.
Son gets sacked in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, and you know what else?
Times by a Michigan linebacker. That's
Michigan.
What I hope.
Michigan is such a pathetic example of college football. Now, who is that homosexual that coached them? Shem Beckler?
I think his name was.
Yeah, Shem Beckler.
You.
And you? That's
you.
That's
you,
a really
buddy.
That's a quick comeback there from where are you living up in the Upper Peninsula there? Look,
no,
the only scholarship
I live down by Detroit.
Hey, pal, the only scholarship your daughter's going to get is Bend Over 101. It is a marvelous way for a young lady.
All right, so now what are you guys doing? You're just taking personal shots?
Well, he started it.
I can't believe you would let this guy on the radio and talk like that.
I can't believe you'd let this guy on the radio and be this dumb. So, see, we both have complaints about you, Mr. Hendry. Hey, Mike, what's your daughter's name?
My daughter's name is Jamie. She's in the car.
And what,
just heard what he had to say.
And what car wash does she work at? Because I'd like...
Okay, this is, you know, what...
Well, he's insulting my son. He said he hopes my son gets sacked. First of all, no Michigan linebacker... No Michigan... Let me tell you something. Mike, no Michigan linebacker...
Congratulations that you didn't call him a loser because he didn't get a scholarship.
No Michigan linebacker has been born yet that's going to sack my son. So, thank you very much.
All right, Mike, thanks for your call, man. 1-800-449-8686. You know, you got very angry at him.
Well, first of all, he says a Michigan linebacker is going to sack my son is going to be the starting quarterback for USC, okay? And what was he bringing his kids to, gymnastics or something? He's got a daughter. I said, do you have a son? He says, no, I got a daughter. I said, well, that's great. That'll be great in that fast-pitch softball league. But when we get down to the nut-cutting, what's she going to do other than shoot pool with him on a Saturday night, okay? What I'm talking about here is having a young lady who can go to a debutante ball, not be working a car wash on the weekends, and training horses. And I think you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about...
Okay, I got it. 1-800...
She's probably a cheerleader.
1-800-449-8686. Terrell, go ahead. You are on the Phil Hendry Show with Vernon Dozier. Terrell or Tyrell or... Hello, 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 hello. Hello? Yeah, you're on the air. Go ahead, ma'am.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
I just was calling up to make a point that this is the most pompous drivel I have ever heard in my life, and I'm going to bet that poor son has no friends. And, you know, he's never once said that this is what his son wants to do. It's what he wants. It's like his trophy.
You know, it's interesting when your own son doesn't get a college scholarship, and mine does, how jealous a lot of these parents are, even at the point of trying to imagine that my son's unhappy. Ma'am, you do, I'll give you this, you sound like my wife.
She needs to grow a set of balls, because she should get out of there. If you give her a reason for living, she needs to move on.
No, no. I told her she needed to earn her keep after going against me on how the boy would be raised.
You know what? Usually raising a child is something both parents do together. It's not a one-person thing. You didn't make that boy by yourself. And you've never even, I mean, you call him your boy like he's, you know, property.
No, I'm just saying. How come every decision I made for the boy was good and every decision she made for the boy would have turned him gay?
I'm gonna bet that is your opinion and your opinion only.
Well, she was against him playing football. Now he's got a scholarship. She was against him wrestling and weightlifting. Instead of, I told him, no proms, no dates, no mixing with girls. I want you on the wrestling team. I want you weightlifting on Friday nights. She was against that.
Jesus.
And what does your son want? What does your son want?
He wants what I want. We are one mind in two bodies.
Well, I think that's probably your opinion, and I think if you actually asked your son what he wanted, it might be something different.
1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up on the show, Herb Sewell talks about his new book as a meteorologist. He's written a book called Anyway the Wind Blows, 35 Years as a Meteorologist, and how people getting their homes blown over in a hurricane ain't nothing to the fact that he has gray pubic hairs. Coming up on the Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. And now it's time for a walk down memory lane. This letter comes to us from Jason. Jason says, "Hi, Phil. I think the best show in the past few years was during the Salt Lake Olympics when Margaret Gray tried to enter some venue with a gun in her purse." By the way, this was because Margaret thought she'd be raped at the Greek food tent. And despite all of the security at the Salt Lake Olympics, she thought she should be allowed to bring in a gun. A walk down memory lane from February of 2002 during the Winter Olympics.
Woman's a fruitcake. I don't even know who Margaret Gray is.
I beg your pardon.
I beg yours. I am talking now.
You
think you're some beauty or something that somebody's waiting for to rape. I got news for you, lady. Nobody would rape you. I haven't seen your face yet, but you definitely are out of it, totally out of it, and you're on an ego ship that's a mile high. How dare you talk about security making $8 an hour and working their tails off?
They're working their rear ends off. That's right.
Dare you put them down? Do you think you are, lady, that you should carry a gun into an Olympic thing? Who are you?
I happen to be a nationally recognized newspaper columnist.
No, you're not a recognized newspaper columnist, because I never even heard of you.
You need to be able to read.
You obviously would like to see somebody attack you or something, because you need the attention. How dare you?
That is very destructive for one woman to say to another.
I don't care. I'm saying it to a fruitcake. With all those beautiful athletes there, why for 1 minute would you think that somebody's out to get you and you need a gun? Why should you have a gun at the Olympics when nobody else can have a gun?
May I ask you a question?
And those $8 an hour people are working to protect
Mr. Hendry, can I ask her a question?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Ask me anything.
Have you ever made love to a Greek man?
Oh, stop with that nonsense, too. You should have held on to problem, lady, because you were lucky if you got that far. With
oh, really?
That.
I should hold on to a man who's eating a sandwich.
I got news for you, lady. There's something wrong with you. You should have grabbed him when you could have. Because there's no way anybody would even bother with
you. Well, what's your nickname? Grand Canyon?
You're a wise guy.
Oh, God. This is really disgusting.
You are just a filthy-minded...
Do we need to talk about this?
I didn't bring it up. She brought up because she's jealous I had a Greek and she didn't.
Oh, God, listen
well,
to this.
Well, then why else would you talk about it that way?
You're the one who brought it up,
kidding?
Margaret.
Are you kidding or something? What's wrong with you, lady?
Kidding you about what?
I can't believe you, of all people, should have nothing on you when you come in. If you hold a media card, I cannot believe you hold a media card. Because whoever you work for certainly should investigate you and investigate you thoroughly. You're a bigot for one thing.
Another thing
is that you think you're high and mighty over there, and
Katie
you're putting Couric. Down everybody else.
Let
and how
tell
dare you
something.
You?
Katie Couric was once taken by a Greek. She knows
what
I'm talking about.
Oh, will you stop with that Greek stuff?
Well,
what is this nonsense?
Well,
you sound like
you?
An idiot. I can't believe that you hold a press card.
You know, just because you drive a train between your legs and out
what
your mouth doesn't...
Oh, come on. What kind of conversation are we having now? I thought we were talking about the security at the Olympics.
I don't know what's wrong with this woman.
She insulted me in the memory of Alex.
Lady, you're a pervert.
Who's Alex?
You are a sick pervert. That's what you
I'm
are.
I'm a pervert now because
I
I'm
don't
a woman.
Believe you
I'm
even work for a newspaper. If you do, I am shocked.
I'm a woman who stands up for her rights, and you can't take it because you're sitting there doing nothing.
Is that right?
I go to the Salt Lake City venue carrying a weapon. Any man tries to get my sweet booty, he'll pay for it.
Oh, you got to be kidding. You wish. Lady, you wish. That's what you want.
Your
you
sweet
would like
booty.
To see something. You
that's
are
right.
Screwy as they come.
None of those bad boys get to touch this sweet thing here.
Oh, you
oh my
sick.
God.
Oh, my God.
My
Phil?
God? My
Phil?
God?
She's wacko, Phil. I'm not even going to continue with this conversation. She's
I'm
so wacko.
I'm wacko because I carry a weapon for the natural fear I might be raped behind a Greek food tent.
The natural fear.
Will you
the
stop?
Natural fear. This is not a natural fear. This is a paranoia that was born of some ill-fated love affair you had with a Greek in California, wherever it was.
Pennsylvania.
Okay, great. And the guy was eating a pita with olive oil while he was making love to you. What kind of a memory is that? He sounds like a pig. Sounds like an...
It was exciting. Marge, you understand. There's something about a man eating while he's making love to you. You know
no,
what I mean?
Don't understand. I don't understand a
sure
thing that you have said. I'm sorry.
You don't
I
get
do
that.
Not understand.
So
you are a very sick woman. Let
you
me tell you
You've never had
that.
A man eating a hot dog when he was making love to you?
Yeah. No, ma'am. No way. No way. You are
What
sick.
Kind of weird...
Conversation is this.
I find it very hard. You never had a man say squat over an egg.
Okay, that's it.
That did it.
That did
that
it.
That did it, Phil.
Did
you
it
want
what?
To cut her
wait,
off.
Wait a second. What do you mean that
she's
did
impossible.
What?
She's impossible.
What did I do?
What did you do? What did you do?
What didn't I
you
do?
You are a filthy-minded bigot is what you are. And
do you
don't deserve to be on the line talking to anybody.
Do you know what it's like to have a man dripping cucumber dressing
you
on
stop
your...
stop that kind
stop
of
stop it!
Talk? I am a 75-year-old woman married 54 years old to my husband, and nobody has ever spoken to me like that.
I'm talking
you're
to
disgusting.
I am talking to you woman to woman. You're
no,
going to be
don't
standing
talk to
in line
me woman to woman, because you're no woman.
You'll be standing in line at the salon.
You're no woman. You're a pervert.
You're weird, baby. Really weird.
Pervert.
Oh, it's baby all of a sudden, huh?
Oh,
well,
listen to her now, Phil. She's going to start on you.
Baby
I
baby all
of
a Barry's calling me baby.
Yeah, oh, yeah, because you're so gorgeous. You're gorgeous. That's what you think. Phil, goodbye.
Let me tell you something. That wasn't cucumber dressing on my face.
All right. Thank you very much.
Oh, she's a slob. She's an absolute slob.
Mr. Henry, I want you to
get... Good night, Phil.
I want to talk woman to woman to you.
You want to talk woman to me?
Yeah.
Woman to me?
Do you speak Greek?
No, I don't speak
Listen
Greek.
To this. Slanustas nakada. Okay. Do you know what that
good
means?
Night.
Do
I don't want to
means?
Waste my time
it
with
means
you.
It means
that
cucumber dressing.
Thank you. Walk Down Memory Lane on the Phil Henry Show from February 2002. That from the Salt Lake City Olympics. That was Margaret Gray. And she was there with her gun, and nobody was going to get that sweet booty near the Greek food tent. No, thank you. A free web weekend is coming up tomorrow. It starts tomorrow on our website, and you won't need a backstage pass for 3 days. Tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday, we will open up our website to any and all who'd like to listen to our archived comedy, who'd like to listen to our 30-day archive of full shows, or who would like to hear our show streamed live. Now, if you listen to the live streaming of the show tomorrow, You may download that. That's right. Load in that disc and burn it to disc. Burn it to CD and keep it, love it, hold it, pray with it, sleep with it. I don't care what you do with it. Because we ain't got a problem with that, see? We ain't got no problem with that, and all you got to do is listen to our website tomorrow, www.philhenryshow.com, www.philhenryshow.com. Also posted is Joe Dickhead and the Professor's NFL picks, and they'll be on the air tomorrow to give us those big picks as well. And, you know, a few other cutie little things that we got going on there. We got those cartoons, Sylvia and David. We've got the Clint Eastwood cartoon with Bud Dickman. We got another Bud Dickman cartoon with Pants Go Brown, which is a classic. You got to see that one. And a lot of other little audiovisual treats that our souvenir shop, of course, is always a good place to stop by. There are so many things in our souvenir shop, I can't list them all, but click on each individual store, the Phil Henry store, the Jay Santos store, the Ted Bell store, the Bobby Dooley store. There's something for everybody there. And with Christmas coming up, if you got a Phil Henry fan in your family, you don't need to go anywhere else. You don't have to go anywhere else, and we'll turn that stuff around for you pretty fast. So go to our souvenir shop there at www.philhenryshow.com. Is that Ted Bell shirt from Honolulu up yet, or am I just imagining things? When's that thing going to be happening? Very soon we're going to have the Teds of Beverly Hills bowling shirt celebrating the new Honolulu, Hawaii restaurant. It's on our website, www.philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back. We'll take a look at the news, and then we'll blow.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Free web weekend tomorrow. What else? Is that it? All right. U.S. job satisfaction hits record low. Well, ain't that too freaking bad? Even in a tough labor market, job satisfaction among employed U.S. workers hits a record low, a survey by a private research group released Thursday shows. So what? So what do you want me to do about it? You don't like your job? Get another job. Job satisfaction hits a record low. This has got to be about as worthless a statistic as I've ever seen in my life. In my life. Hey, you happy to have a job? I know I am. The level of job satisfaction has been steadily on the decline since reaching nearly 59% in 1995. You know why job satisfaction is on the decline? Because people have got their priorities up their rear ends. In other words, a guy thinks that he wants. This is why kids tell me all the time. I say, what do you want to do with your life? I want to make money. You want to what? I want to make money. Well, look, stupid. You can't just say you want to make money. You got to know what you want to make money at.
Well, what do you mean?
I mean, the only way you're ever going to make money is by doing a job that you really enjoy. I know there's the odd guy that might have hit it out of the park in the stock market, but baby, that ain't going to be you. So what do you want to do? What gives you joy? What do you enjoy doing?
Well, I don't know.
98%, when I was growing up, it hasn't changed. Half of my friends didn't know what the hell they wanted to do. They got their thumbs so far up their ass, it's a crime. They could be scratching their freaking tonsils with it. And when they get into college, they still don't know what they want to do. They're taking this, they're taking that. We don't encourage kids to know what it is that they really love and to go for it. Like if a kid says, I really love this, well, why don't you do it for a living? Well, I can never do that. You're not supposed to be happy when you work. I mean, then we got that attitude out there. That's the thing that we lay on kids. You shouldn't really be happy when you work. You have to work. The job you have should be really tough. But the joy comes, what, when you retire, on weekends, when you die? When's it supposed to come? The only job you should have is one that you like. The only job you should have is one that gives you joy, happiness, and all that Pollyanna bullcrap. But let me tell you what, that's the way to live your life. But no, we don't say that to kids. What we say is, you want to make a lot of money, you want to be secure, want to have a family, want to do this, want to do that. Your priorities are all up your ass. You got to get everything straight, you got to do everything all over again. A. Figure out what you want to do with your life. Making money ain't a valid answer. That's number one. Number two, decide how you can best go about doing that. some jobs you don't have to go to college for. Take this one, for example. Take this stupid job that I do, this talk show host job. I went to 2 years of college. I jumped out of college, I got into broadcasting, and here I am with a big fat mouth on the radio on 90 radio stations across this marvelous country of ours, okay? I didn't need to go to college. I just didn't need to go to college. Now, if you have an idea for a business, for instance, that you're pretty sure is going to you know, do very well, and college is going to kind of take away from that, well, then maybe you ought to do that. Not everybody needs to go to college. Do you understand? Not everybody should be in college. The colleges of America, the universities of America, are filled with imbeciles who don't know why they're there, could care less. Mommy and daddy's paying the tuition or whatever. I mean, they're taking up space, they're taking up air, they're taking up valuable oxygen, and they ought to be someplace else, man, like maybe picking their rear end at a car wash someplace. They ought to be answering this question, okay? Eddie, where's the new car smell, okay? The only questions you guys ought to be asking is something like, should I get the mats too, sir? That's number two. How's the best way to go about doing that? Then number three, begin to execute that life. Don't even think about getting married till you're 30, men and women. Don't even think about it. If you think marriage is a one-way ticket to happiness, if you think that's what God intended for everybody, if you think that having a family is just the greatest thing in the world, yeah, having a good family is, but if you've got a bad family, especially if you're the dumbass that's heading up that family and weren't sure why you started in the first place, you got yourself some big problems, pal. And I mean big, starting with a capital B and ending with S, and that spells pool. And then finally, number four. Use your imagination and take chances in this world. So when you have your profession and you have your family, you aren't going to go anywhere until you're willing to take a couple of chances, until you're willing to step off the edge of the cliff a couple of times. If you sit around in your life holding on to your ass and holding on to yourself like a bomb's going to go off, and you think you're supposed to get promotions just because everybody likes looking at your sorry-ass face coming through the door, buddy, you know what? I don't know what to tell you, man. Go live in Africa someplace, man. Go put on a little grass skirt and start playing a ukulele, because you're in the wrong country. You will not get noticed, and you will not get the achievements that you want unless you take a shot, take a chance, step off the edge of the cliff. Don't be one of the sheep. Be one of the people that steps out front and says, I got an idea. I think I got a better idea. I think this is what we ought to do. And they'll make fun of you. They'll mock you. They'll laugh at you. One of the things about being different is that you automatically step out of the crowd. And when you step out of the crowd, everybody can then see how much a part of the pack of sheep they are. See, if everybody's together, there isn't anybody that's standing out front. So everyone's just together. The minute some guy steps out front, it makes everybody else look like what they are, just grazing sheep. That's why people, especially in America, they love to take pot shots. They love to attack anybody that's different. It is the American way to put down people that are different and then to eventually fall in love with them. In fact, what's the old saying? Schopenhauer said the truth, and I don't know who Schopenhauer is. I think he made a shampoo. He said that truth passes through three stages. It is first mocked. It is second, violently opposed, and then it is thirdly, accepted as self-evidently true. You understand what I just said to you? In other words, truth is not always recognized as truth. People violently oppose it or mock it before they finally say, yes, you're right, it is true. That is the way of the world, baby. So when you come out with a poll, most Americans are dissatisfied with a job. Well, I got a big idea for you. Get out of that job and go to another job, and don't bother me with your problems. Speaking of problems, some black folks are suing Waffle House because they claim they were discriminated against. Hey, folks, no kidding. Would you just figure this one out? Have you ever been to Waffle House? It's a chain of breakfast dumps down south. I mean, they got waitresses with no teeth. They've got waffles that are soggy with syrup and with that kind of putrid butter melted all over it. The place is just a den of rednecks. And if you like your coffee hot, black, and lousy, they got it in there, too. In other words, no black folks go into Waffle House. I might as well go down to Watts and step into a bar and say, hey, boy, pour me a shot. I want a shot and a beer. Let me ask you a question. I got an idea. Seriously. Some black folks go to Waffle House, and they get discriminated against. I go down to a bar in Watts, and I say I'd take a beer and a shot. Now, what do you think's going to happen? I'm going to get hassled for my race at the very best. I'll probably get killed, right? So that's racial discrimination, right? So I could sue that guy. If I survived, I could sue him, and I could own his bar, right? Do you think it'd be worth for me to just go from bar to bar in Watts and get thrown out because I'm a white boy and sue every last one of those guys and then own like three blocks of Watts? Or would it be better just to go down there and burn the whole thing down and start all over again? All right. I could start a chain of bars down in Watts. Boy, they need that, don't they? That's exactly what they need. More bars, more liquor stores, and more change machines. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.